Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And I see those smiles back. We are too cold to be too smiled. We are very blessed to be here. And the reason why I asked you to turn, because you'll be able to see better in the screen if we just... this text talks about not only to live a life, but it says, so be very careful. How do you live? Many people walk around, and because they are breathing, they assume that they are alive. But remember, Jesus Christ made a statement. He said, let the dead bury the dead. So there are people walking out there, but they are not alive. They are actually dying. They are not living. The question is, those that come to church, are we here because we made the wise choice to live? Do not live like those who are not wise, but live wisely. In other words, life has to have quality, and the quality is our choices. We chose a title for the message that probably you think that we are talking about the apostles, right? When you hear this title, the apostles of life. But I would like to put a little twist to it, okay? The word apostle, most of you here may know what the word apostle means. The one or what is sent. Something that come out of and go forward. So that is what is apostle. So take that in mind as we go through this message. Today is part one of this message. We have 12 apostles. So we have 12 things that come out of life that we must have if we choose to live wisely. That's the only way we can live, because if we are wise, life remains forever. If we are not wise, life is just a moment. And then nothing else. So the question is, what is life? Depends who you ask. You know, there are so many definitions of life. But I'm biased. I like the one I find here. And you know, you look in a cover of the bulletin, and the answer is right there. Okay? Satan once was talking to God, and the issue was about life. Life of one of the Lord's faithful. Now, I want every time we read this for you to relate. Take Job out of the picture and put yourself there. And you see that Satan, who does not like life because his title is the destroyer, Mr. Death, the opposite of everything that lives is him. So Satan replied to the Lord that there is this dialogue going on. Skin for skin. A man or a woman, a human being, will give up everything he or she has to save his life. I don't know how many of you have seen or heard stories of people that are they have billions of dollars, and yet they are very unhappy because they contract a disease and they know that they have a short life to live. And then what happens? All that they have, what they do with it, you cannot take with you. You cannot take to the grave. And after you die, your children, your beloved little monsters will fight each other just so we can grab some of that stuff that you could not take with you. And what is all for? What is life all about? To live wisely is to make your existence with a purpose. This individual is not a religious individual, but he said something that I decided to use his quote. Robert Burney, he says, the purpose of life is a life of purpose. Life can only be meaningful if you have a plan for it. Don't just, like a vegetable, just go on, accept every day, and just like a routine. Make every day count in your life. Believe me, if you go to a doctor and the doctor tells you, by the way, I have some sad news to give to you. Oh, boy. Before you even finish the sentence, your heart is right there in the foot already. Right? If your doctor says, I have some terrible news to give to you. Oh, it's a very bad one. Oh, you're already dead. You're dying already then. And then they said, you know, you have only 6 months to live. Can you imagine hearing that news? Some people immediately start to do something. They try to live 20 years, 50 years in 2 days, 2 months. They try to catch up. Why wait until the bad news comes? Enjoy life today. That's why today, this morning, we chose the invocation, the call to worship about being glad. We need to smile a little more, because the more we smile, the better we do to our immune system. It is medicine. So please, live a life with a purpose. We know that all things, how much? Say with me with gusto. How much?
All things.
All. And that includes the bad ones too?
Yes.
The Lord does not send the bad ones. But He is powerful enough, because He loves you, to turn them into a positive. He will allow you to take that rock that was thrown to hit you, and He comes step before you. He grabbed the rock. He says, don't worry, my child. We will build something with this. We will build something with what's meant to hurt you. All things. God, He says, we know that in all things God works for good with those who love Him. Now, pay attention to the condition is with. God will not work for you if you are not part of the team. If you say, okay, Lord, do you do everything else? I'm going to sit down and relax. No, He says, He will work all things, but with you, if you love Him. Those whom He has called according to His purpose. God has a purpose. When you are born, believe me, I don't want it to be too graphic about it, but some of you know enough about how people are born and everything else. In the moment of conception, there was 500,000 candidates to be in your place. Did you hear what I said? In the moment of conception, there was 500,000 seeds looking for that opportunity, that one opportunity to come to this life. And you made it. Oh, I feel sorry for the other ones that didn't make it, but you made it. Now, how do you use and invest on this trust that the Lord gave to you? You are here, and millions of people are not here, because you are the one who was conceived. The Bible tells us that even before you were born, before I was born, He knew all my days, all our days. So, brothers and sisters, make right choices. We showed this last time, 2 weeks ago. Jesus Christ came a moment that He has many disciples, but He decided that He needed 12 apostles. Do you know very clear the difference between a disciple and an apostle? A disciple is someone who comes to Jesus to learn. They come to the teacher. Apostle is the one who goes from the teacher to make disciples. That is the distinction. So when they all came to Jesus, they all came to learn. They were all disciples. But here is the graduation day. Here is the day when Jesus Christ says, I need 12 of you. I'm going to graduate 12 of you because I like to send you to create new disciples. You are apostles. Now, who is this individual standing there,
Jesus,
making the choices?
Jesus.
I gave you a hint. Who is that individual standing there?
Jesus.
Life.
Yes, life.
Life is standing there. And life is choosing the apostles to bring life. The mission was not to bring a message. It is not the message that brings you here. What it brings you here is life. Because everything is about life. Everything that we learn, everything that we get invested to is about life. We eat because of life. We walk because of life. We pray because of life. We have relationships because of life. Life called them according to His purpose. Life is calling you today. You need to be an apostle of life. You need to carry life with you and share life. That is the purpose of life. One day soon after Jesus went up on the mountain to pray, and He prayed the whole night. Do you know why He prayed the whole night? Because He was dealing with eternal life. He was choosing 12 apostles the next day, and so He prayed. Even Jesus Christ asked God for directions. At daybreak, He called together all His disciples and chose 12 of them to be apostles. Here are their names, and you know all their names. Simon, and then James, John, Philip, Bartholomew. And then we have also Matthew, Thomas, James. And there was another James, Simon. And there's two Simon, Judas, two Judas. And the last Judas here in the list, you know that he betrayed Jesus Christ? And he went and ended his life. He turned his back to life giver, the life giver, and went and lost his life. He took his life. Instead of, here's a good hint for you, instead of taking your life on your hands, literally, put your life on His hands, and you will live forever. Later on, of course, we know that the church got together and they decided to choose somebody else to replace Judas. But God had a different plan. Life Himself decides to step down and come and meet Saul. Saul was in a mission to take life from the believers. And God, the life Himself, showed up to him and called him to be the number 12 apostle. So he became an apostle as well. In John 14, verse 6, you all are very familiar with this text. It says, I am the way. Who is the way?
Jesus.
Not Jesus. I am. It says that I am the way. You are the way because in Christ, that's what you're supposed to be. You are the way so somebody else can meet life as well. Of course, here is Jesus saying, I am the way. But we also are, as Christians, to claim, I am the way. When you walk, when you talk, when you do business with other people, people should see in you the way into life. Are you the one? Do you belong to the truth?
Yes.
Are you part of the truth?
Yes.
Are you the truth?
Yes.
Do you live according to the truth?
Yes.
So, yes, you are the truth. And life. Doesn't the Bible says, Jesus Christ Himself says, that if we accept Him, we have life? Even if we die, we shall live. Therefore, life is eternal. So, yes, the only way to the Father is through me. I like to say this to you. I'm very blessed. I'm incredibly blessed. More than I can ever imagine that I've deserved. When you study with somebody that didn't have any plan to be religious in their lives. They didn't even believe in God at all. And the person you approach the person and offer Bible study, and the person accepts, and to see that glorious day when the person surrendered their lives to Christ and now is baptized, and not only become part of the church, but become an apostle, somebody who goes and reach out for other people. Believe me, it is a great thing to be an instrument to bring others to Christ. I mentioned to you here before, there is one particularly, I know for sure that I've repeated this story a few times. There is a young man that he was from the Presbyterian church. I attend a Presbyterian school for high school. And we went walk sometimes because we are friends. We walk in the downtown. And we stand there, just let see the girls pass by. We just admire the girls. And the girls knew that that was what the whole purpose. They will go around, they go up, let in, they turn around, they go again. That's for hours. And we stay there just watching. It was kind of interesting experience, part of life. And, of course, being a Seventh-day Adventist, I was just being, it was just foolishness. Why? Because in the moment that I was baptized, I made a commitment to God. And I'm not saying this to praise myself or anything else. God is no God or her. I made a commitment the moment that I was baptized that I was never going to marry somebody that was not, did not believe the same way I did.
Amen.
I told God, doesn't matter how long it takes, you have to bring me a wife. And he did. A good looking one.
Yeah.
You see her from outside, but I can see her inside. It's more beautiful than outside still.
Yeah.
And the Lord blessed me with that. But I waited, and he did. And believe me, so when those girls pass by, I just say, good looking, but for somebody else. The guy was there with me. He would do the same thing. But on Sundays, before I came to the downtown, I went to somewhere. And he asked, what do you do every Sunday? And then you come back exactly an hour and 15 minutes later, you'll show up. What? What do you mean? I go to church. I was kind of shy to tell him that I go to church because I felt like I'm going to sound awkward. But he said, to church? What church do you go on Sunday evening? I said, I go to a Seventh-day Adventist church that has evangelistic meeting every Sunday to reach out for other people. And so that's why I go there. Okay? Is that okay if I go with you? Is that okay if I go with you? Yeah, you can come if you want to. And the next Sunday, the following Sunday, he went. And he got there, and the first elder of the church, Brother Cleveland, watch this. The first elder of the church saw this young man in church. And he says, hi, how are you? I'm Mauro Nunes. And yeah, that's his name, Mauro Nunes. And he says, I want to ask you, who invites you to come to our church? Oh, he did. Oh, okay. By the way, here are a group of lessons. Would you like to study the Bible and know about our church? And he says, yeah. And just a second. He went to me and says, you go and help him and teach him. I gave him the lessons. Right like that. Forward the whole story. Not only he was baptized, he went to the same school that I attend to become a pastor. He was called to a different conference. He became involved in the conference. And he has worked all his life. And I found some information about him online. Many thousands of people have been baptized, have been come to the gospel.
Amen.
Just because instead of going to watch a movie or to stand there just watching the girls going back and forth, I decided it was important for me to go to church. And you know what it was in church? There was a group, maybe 10, 15 people in church. And the speaker was not somebody who actually have any skills in preaching. He would do this every Sunday. Blessed are all. This for a whole hour. But it's not who you listen to. It's not how skillful that person was, but the fact that I want to be where the Lord was.
Amen.
So when somebody asks you, are you going to church? Who is preaching today? You must say to that person, it doesn't matter. Because I want to know, I want to be where truth is, where life is present.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, if you ask any of those animals that got into the ark, if they would have preferred to stay in the mountain, the fresh air, or something else, or their bodies that they left behind, believe me, all of them, all those animals that got in the ark, they were happy when they heard the thunder, the water, everything was going out outside. Don't ever underestimate how blessed you are because you chose life and you came where life is.
Amen.
I am. Can you say I am?
I am.
I am. I am what? I am life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the way that the Lord chose, not only to bring life to myself, but to those that the Lord will help me to influence also to accept life.
Amen.
Life. There is nothing more important in life than the word love. Anybody disagree? Go ahead. Let me see your hand. And everybody else, do you disagree?
No.
He wants to raise his hand. He's a big volunteer.
No.
There's nothing more vital in life than love. Love is the heart of life itself. So I started to start with love. So the L in life stands for love. That is the first apostle of life. Love. Second is labor. Some people look at labor as a burden. Labor was given to us even before sin came in. Labor is a form for us to exercise our intellect. Actually, it's one of the greatest blessings that God has given to human beings. Anybody who is too lazy to work is too lazy to live. It's taking somebody else's. By the way, have you noticed in the Ten Commandments there is a commandment that says, thou shalt not steal?
Yes.
Right? When you are in this life and you are doing nothing with your life, there is almost a half a million of people that you cheat because you took our opportunity of one of those seeds to come to this life and you cheat all of them when you are doing nothing with your life. God trusts you. God gave you a chance. And you are cheating all of them. And you will answer to God because of them. Because if you don't do anything meaningful with your life. And the third, apostles with the letter L is to learn. Some people are too lazy to learn. But we all learn. We learn good things and we unlearn by learning bad things. Because when we learn bad things, that's unlearn. When we learn good things, we learn. Okay? Then I also intellect. Remember that We are blessed with the ability to reason. When I see some human beings, when I hear them talk, I wonder if there is anything out there, because it doesn't look like they have intellect. Inspiration and instruction. So those are the 12 apostles, the 6 apostles that we're going to be talking today. And then next week, the other 6. Okay, total 12. Oh, you want to look at them again?
Yeah.
All right, you can just take a picture like this and you get it. All right? So they will be repeated again, okay? So first, love. But anyone who does not love, you know the rest of this verse, does not know God. Why? For God is love. And so the Bible tells me that God is life. But God tells me that God is love. Is love and life the same thing? Yes, it is. Love is not just the fruit of life, but love is life itself. By the way, I would like to make this remark here. Many of us are taught that God created life, right? We have heard this expression. Have you ever heard this expression before? Actually, God does not create life. Did you hear me say that? God only shares life. God does not create life. God shares life. He created human being and then gave life, shared life with a human being. When a human being is no longer using that life returns to God, because life cannot die, because life is God.
Amen.
Is God in us. So God shares life. He does not create life. He creates animals, plants, and he puts life into them. And when they die, life returns to him, because life cannot die. If you keep my commandments, what else happens? You will remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, let me paraphrase this. If you keep my commandments, life will remain in you. Life, love is the same thing. If you keep my commandments, that means that you want life. And because you want life, life will remain in you. I will not take it back. You keep it as long as you want. Keep, just as I kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I am life because I am one with the Father. His life, I'm life, and anyone who embraces us will have life. John 15:10, a Common English Bible, that's CEB stands for Common English Bible. Now, do you know the story about this young man? The Bible called him a young ruler. He had two things that was going strong for him. He was young and I assume good looking and had a lot of money. But look what happens to him, a rich young ruler. As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, he met this young man. He came actually running to talk to him. And because he was rich, you know, he felt like, I just got there and I pushed everybody aside and let me talk to him. And he had an audience with life himself. He knelt down and asked him, good teacher, what must I do? Why every time the people want to be religious, they are so concerned about the do's? You know, what I do, we are so sometimes consumed with the do aspect. What must I be? It was the right answer. What must I be? And then he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I want to keep life forever. Jesus Christ says, okay, I can tell you the secret. It's very simple, actually. And now this is related to that previous text that we read about, if you love me, keep my commandments. Look, it says, but to answer your question, You know the commandments. You must not murder. In other words, I'm glad that Jesus used this first. Why? Because his question is, how do we keep myself alive forever? So he says, oh, you must respect life, because that's what it means. You must not murder means you must honor life. You must respect life. Jesus started with that one. You must not commit adultery. And then he says, you must not steal. You must not testify falsely. All those things kills. You must not cheat anyone. Honor your father and your mother. Kids, look at that. Honor your father and your mother. Yes. And then says Jesus looked straight at him with love and said to him, you need only one thing. That's all. You are almost there. Just one more step to go. Go and sell all that is stuff that is keeping you away from God. It's consuming all your time. It's making you a selfish individual. It makes you a very critical individual because all you're thinking about that stuff. And then you will have riches in heaven. In other words, put all your money where no one can take it away. It's yours forever. As I used to say before, put in your savior account and you'll keep forever. Then come and do what? No, that's not what he said. That's not what he said. And then follow me. Then come and follow me now. That's not what he said. What he says, come and be my disciple. I want to make you into an apostle. I want you to be life and to give life. I don't want you to rely on that stuff because that's not giving you life. I am life. And if you follow life, your life will be eternal, because that's what your question was to me. You asked me, how do I have eternal life? I said, here I am. Follow me. And you will have life. And today I can guarantee you, brothers, in this book, it would have been here a gospel according to this young ruler. We don't even know his name. Why? Because the Bible says he was rich. So rich that he was actually a very poor and miserable guy. Because when you see something so precious and you have no idea how to define value of what is right in front of you. At this, the man's face fell to the ground and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. I don't know about you. There's nothing wrong about having a lot of good stuff. I'm not a preacher about being, I don't want to be miserable and not have anything. It's good to have resources. All right, you can say amen to that.
Amen.
It's good to have a resource. It's good to have a roof. It's good to have a good car. It's good to have things that actually make your life more comfortable. But don't put those stuff before something that's more precious than God in life itself. Labor. Whatever you do, you're going to do. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Don't be lazy. Don't be always. Some people sometimes they get involved in a project and they take two steps into the project, then they are with something else. They can never get anything done. It says, whatever you do, work in it with all your heart. I'm not going to go into much detail, but when I do some graphics for the, sometimes I spend hours in one graph. And I keep telling myself, you're putting too much time on this. It's going to be a few seconds and the memory will look and that's it, it's gone. But I like to invest time because I try to the best way I can to produce quality. Why? Because I believe that when we try to produce quality, not for our sake, not for glory for ourselves, we reflect the image of God is in us. Take time, brothers and sisters. Invest time in producing quality. If you are always concerned about quality, your children around you would not be satisfied with mediocre things. They're not going to go through life being a cheap person. They will be seeking quality. When they look for a spouse, they will look for quality. When they look for a church, they will look for quality. When they invest, they will invest in quality because they have been brought up to admire quality. Whatever you do in your life, work with all your heart. As though you were working for whom? From life himself. It is all invest life and to produce what life is wants you to produce, and not for just for people. Don't be worried about pleasing people. Please him. And when you please him, you please everybody else around him. It's impossible for you not to please humans when you please God. Sometimes we try to please humans and not please God, and that doesn't work. I'll labor again, work hard. And whatever you do, work hard, because there will be no action, no thought, no knowledge, no wisdom in the world of the dead. Oh, this is a tough one. Whatever you do, do now, because wherever you go, we all going to go there to that little hotel that is going to be. We're going to get stuck there for a little while. When we go to that, there's no knowledge there. There's no thought. There's no action. It doesn't matter what cell phone, what type of cell phone you had, what car you had, what house you have. When you go to the ground, the bugs eat you exactly the same way you eat anybody. I don't mean to be gross, but that's the way. And that is where we all going. The house of the dead. Labor. Our lifetime is 70 years. Or if we are strong, if we go for a walk, if we do some good exercise, if we eat well, you know, maybe 80 years. But the years are full of hard work and pain.
Sounds nice.
And now you live most of your life, and then you get to the pill section of your life. Pill for this, pill for that. And feel for that, jars of pills. And then you start spilling things. And then we are gone. That's what life is all about, isn't it?
Yes.
Learn from it. To have knowledge, you must first have reverence for life. To have knowledge, you must have reverence for life, for your Creator. And fools. By the way, there was another word in this version that I didn't want to use, so I took fools instead, because it's another word that starts with S, and there's a T, and so I decided to use this one, okay? It says, fools have no respect for wisdom. Why? They don't have wisdom, so what they cannot help themselves. It says, and refuse to learn. Have you seen people? They will do anything possible not to sit down and listen to anything because they don't want to learn anything. Whatever you deny yourself from learning, you become responsible. If you have a chance to know something and you choose not to because you're too lazy or you want to bother, you'll be held accountable for that. Intellect. So God created the human beings, you and I, in his own image. By the way, you should take this text, put a print in a little, and put somewhere in your house. When you pass by, you should look at this. I was created on the image of the Almighty One. I am somebody. Excuse me, I am. I am somebody. You know why? Because my Father created me to look just like him. Of course, with a little hair, but just like him. Okay? We are created to be. So don't go around and demean the ability, because if you look in the mirror and you see somebody there that does not look like God, you need to work it out something to recover that, because the image of God is supposed to be in you. And this image here has to do not with the likeness, like the shape of the face, has to do with the fact that God gave us intellect, the ability to reason, to create, to modify things, to shape things. That is the ability that God gave us that makes us like Him. In the image of God, He created them. By the way, it says them. Okay? It doesn't say him. Okay, ladies, you can say amen to that. Male and female, He created them. So this shows us that we all create according to His image. God gave all of us the intellect. Intellect is not something, is not a mass that is just to put in our head to fill the space there. Okay? Because intellect is not just to fill the space. Intellect is there to command every single aspect of our life. Inspiration. For merely listening to the law does not make us right with life. It is obeying the law that makes us right with life. Even Gentiles who do not have life apparently written in their hearts show they know this law when they, by instinct, by inspiration, they obey it, even without having ever heard it. They demonstrate that God's law is written in their hearts, for their own conscience and thoughts either accuse them or tell them they are doing right or wrong. All these scriptures. How much of scriptures?
All.
I heard somebody, and I hear this all the time. Sometimes I talk to people about denominations. They talk about this portion of the Bible. This first portion of the Bible, they call it the Old Testament. You know what they mean by the senior commandment? I mean the Testament. You know what they call the senior Testament or the Old Testament? You know what? They try to imply that is gone. It's no good for anything. It's good for the Jewish people, but not for us. Because that's called the Jewish Bible. The Bible, when it says here, all scriptures. The New Testament was not together yet. He was referring to the first 39 books of the Bible. Now, afterwards, is inclusive. It's all 66 books of the Bible. All scriptures is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine. It means to teach. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Not only this verse talks about inspiration, but it also talks about instructions. Instructions. The Lord says, I will teach you the way you should go. By the way, He'll teach you the way because He is the way. I will instruct you and advise you. Psalm 32, verse 8, Good News Translation. Now, brothers and sisters, love, labor, learning, intellect, inspiration, and instruction are, I'd like to introduce to you, the six half of the apostles of life. If you want to be a true apostle of life, you must have in you, in order for your life to be meaningful, a reflection of life Himself. You must have love. You must labor. You must learn. You must use your intellect. You must allow God to inspire you. You must allow God to instruct you. Because it's by learning that you'll be able to teach. If by being willing to receive instruction, that you become. May the Lord bless you. And now I have, before we close this, so be very careful how you live. Do not live like those who are not wise, but live wisely. Ephesians 5, verse 15, and here what it says, 16. Use every chance you have for doing good. Doing what?
Good.
Because these are the evil times. Aren't they? The really evil times? We cannot even turn our TV in front of our children anymore because things are showing up, even commercials, that is despicable. Life. Yes, life is forever. That's what life stands for. Life is forever because life is God. Is God in you? May the Lord bless you. And please, next week, you don't want to walk around only with six apostles. You need to come and listen to the other six. There's six more apostles for us to complete the 12 apostles about life. Okay? Let's stand together and sing, He, life, leads.